From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018. And on this day, we'll hear from Maine Republican gubernatorial candidate Sean Moody. And in our series, Aquaculture's Next Wave, we'll look at how technology from Japan is advancing scallop farming in Maine. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at mainegardens.org.
All this week, we're talking with the candidates running for governor and for Congress. Republican Sean Moody's one of four candidates to succeed Governor Paul LePage, whose term limited after 8 years. During appearance today on Maine Calling, host Jennifer Rooks asked Moody about what, if anything, should be done about the partisan divide in our state.
And one of the root causes of this, I believe, is the citizens' referendum process. Now, we've got three equal branches of government. The legislative branch is very important to make laws, have a public hearing process, they vet these things, make sure they're constitutional. And the citizens' referendum has basically bypassed the legislature. So I believe we need citizens' referendum reform that would give a better representation of the rural areas of our state and make sure that these really difficult, contentious laws, basically is what they are properly vetted, have the public hearings that they are warranted, have an economic study in terms of the tax impacts, and make sure they're constitutional.
Sean, do you support the plan to expand Medicaid? If not, what would you put in its place? If so, how would you pay for it?
Medicaid expansion is a law that's been settled. Now we have to find a way to get the legislature together. I recently met with the CEOs of the major hospitals in the state, and they agreed to come to the table to discuss how we're going to fund this responsibly and sustainably. That's going to be a top priority.
What would you do to address Maine's workforce shortage?
This is where I think you can draw a real contrast between myself and the other candidates. I have 40 years of executive experience in the private sector. So we started creating a workforce development program called Grow Our Own 15 years ago because we knew the biggest challenge to growing our company was going to be hiring skilled and trained people. And two things, Jennifer, I would bring as the next governor. Number one, we've got to reform our vocational and career tech ed programs here in the state. We've really, I think, turned our back on the blue collar trades in the state. And these are great paying jobs, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. And you can get through programs, training programs, with little or no student debt. The other important issue in terms of workforce is we need to go out and recruit our former Mainers that left in search of opportunity. 7 or 8 years ago when the economy, we had literally double-digit unemployment here in the state. Now we're at full employment. So we'll create a strategic marketing plan to go out and recruit former Mainers that have left the state and incentivize them to bring their families, bring their talent, bring their capital back to Maine and invest. Another avenue of increasing our young, healthy population is we have 30 million tourists in Maine. If we could just hang on to 1% of those 30 million tourists, that's 30,000 individuals that love our state. That's why they come here. The last component we need for workforce is our immigrant population. We need to make sure that our immigrants have a pathway to employment.
As governor, what would you do to address Maine's opioid crisis?
I think we need a multifaceted approach. Enforcement has got to be resourced in a way to combat criminal organizations that come into our state targeting our most vulnerable. The second thing that we got to really focus on is our treatment. I feel that our recovery community has got to have a matrix of outcomes that they want to generate as part of their work. So we can share these best practices across the state recovery units so that we can scale them up, the programs that are really working well, and we're going to have to eliminate the programs that aren't working at all. Final component is education.
Sean Moody is a Republican and one of four candidates to succeed outgoing Governor Paul LePage. He was a guest today on Maine Calling. You can hear the full program at mainepublic.org. Tomorrow, we'll talk with an independent in that race, Alan Caron, and with Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Brakey. The commercial fishing industry is always beset by uncertainty. But in the Gulf of Maine, climate change is amplifying the risks, and some industry leaders are betting on diversification to hedge against the unpredictable. This week, we present a new series on promising alternatives gaining steam in Maine. It's Aquaculture's Next Wave, and today, Fred Bever details a jump ahead in scallop farming.
Marsden Brewer is a third-generation Maine fisherman who docks in Stonington.
I've been involved in all the fisheries, you know, over my lifetime.
These days, it's mostly lobster, but he's fished cod and shrimped and carted urchin to market. They were all once vibrant species, but now they're mostly off limits after being weakened by climate change and overfished.
Not intentionally, but you know, just the way it was set up to work, it wasn't sustainable. This project here is looking at sustainability in a fishery.
This project is Brewer's 20-year effort to diversify his business by developing a profitable scallop farm. He used to scatter baby scallops in the bay, then drag up the adults from the seafloor a couple years later. Success was limited, though. So now, from his 38-foot lobster boat moored more than a mile offshore, Brewer's experimenting with methods from Japan, where scallop farming is a long tradition. Brewer, son Bobby, and Dana Morse, a marine extension agent with the University of Maine, winch up from the depths a long rope strung with 12-foot-tall dark mesh bags. The collapsible bags are partitioned by horizontal shelves, giving them the look of a giant Japanese paper lantern. Inside, each level holds 20 or so squirting scallops.
Dana, come take a look at these. This has been a lot of crap on them.
Holy moly.
Those ones there came from across the bay, I'd say.
Yeah, the nets are in fantastic shape and the scallops look awesome.
Yeah.
Brewer first netted these scallops 2 years ago when they were in their free-floating larval stage, known as a spat. The boat's crew carefully measures their growth.
63, 68.
They're more than 2 inches wide now, not quite ready yet for market. Extension agent Morse first visited Japan 20 years ago to check out scallop systems there, and he's been back since, towing along fishermen like Brewer. Now, Morse says the Brewers are leading the way for other lobstermen looking for affordable ways to diversify.
The handling system that Marsden and Bob have put together is fabulous because it allows them to be lobster fishing at one time in the day, and then with maybe a half an hour's difference, they can be scallop farming. And so that's flexibility right there. So it's really cool to see that stuff in action.
Back the scallops go, deep into the nutritious water column. Brewer expects to sell tens of thousands of them this winter and to fetch upwards of $1.50 each wholesale. Eventually, he expects scallop profits to rival his lobster take, and more predictably.
It's got some real good potential. Just want to make sure everything's going to work before we take the next step.
Down in Casco Bay, some young shellfish entrepreneurs are going all in on the next step.
Okay, ready?
John Gorman works at Bangs Island Mussels. On a boat docked on Portland's waterfront, he and a gaggle of young men from several Maine shellfish farms run live scallops through a high-pressure washer. It was just imported from Japan by the nonprofit Coastal Enterprises, Inc., which is encouraging seafood farmers around Maine to try it out. And for these guys, it's strictly learn as you go because the manual is in Japanese.
But the more we learn about it, the more we realize how well designed it really is. It makes me a little nervous having such expensive machinery on this boat.
On the wharf, the scallops are sorted and clipped into a metal conveyor belt to be met by an automated drill that punches tiny holes through their squared-off corners, known as the ears. Nate Perry of the Pine Point Oyster Company fine-tunes the drill.
So it's very, very precise.
once you're really dialed in, I mean, you can turn the speed up and just, you can't keep up with it almost, you know?
Next, the men thread plastic pins through the scallop's newly pierced ears, then string them on a rope to be sent back to the sea. The Japanese technique is called ear hanging. Back at the washer, 30-year-old John Gorman says new technologies that save time processing scallops and other marine crops promise a bright future for aquaculture in Maine.
Part of the new industry, you know? I see a lot of growth, and you never know. We're going to be doing scallops, and then we'll be back to mussels, and then in the springtime and the fall, we're into kelp. It's fun.
And Gorman and a growing number of would-be scallop farmers are hoping profitable. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.